More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, head games. Are you in a relationship with someone who's manipulating you or playing games? We'll help you break the pattern and find solutions. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our home.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, head games. We're talking about relationships that involve some degree of game playing or manipulation. You know, we all have at least one person in our lives who's really good at turning things around, making things our fault, deflecting from responsibility, not paying attention to our needs, but still getting what they want. It's hard to know how to deal with those folks because normal relationship rules don't work. And in fact, the more you try to use normal relationship rules, the worse things get. So we want to help you out. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, are you in a relationship with somebody who does tend to manipulate you or play games? Or maybe you're not sure, but you'd like to check it out. Either way, we want to help you break those patterns and find solutions. 877-573-7825.
Well, I like the fact that you said maybe you're not sure and you'd like to figure it out, because it does often, when you're dealing with somebody who just lives in that pattern that we're talking about, it can creep up very subtly over the course of your relationship. If it started, you know, if it's a parent or an older sibling, it can start very young and just kind of build and build and build. If it's a romantic relationship or even a business relationship, it can start subtly. They kind of test the waters, and then it builds and builds and builds, and you're blindsided by it usually. You don't see it coming. But eventually you start thinking, you're the weak one. You're the wrong one. You're always at fault, and it shakes your confidence, and it makes you feel a little nuts. And so this can happen if you're dealing with a narcissist or somebody who's really wounded in their life, so they feel like somehow they have to control everything. Or there's a million reasons why someone may behave this way. The question is, what in the world do you do about it? Especially if it's someone you need to be in relationship with. It's not just, you know, okay, this person at work who's like, you know, five desks down from me and I only see a couple times a week is like this and I can just give them a wide berth and be fine. No, if they're a relative, a dear friend, a spouse, your child, this becomes really toxic for your relationship and sometimes for your own well-being. So we want to help you overcome that today, learn some new skills, and be able to thrive again. So give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Call up and share, is there someone in your life who's good at making you feel like things are always your fault? Maybe conversations with them tend to turn into you defending yourself, apologizing, explaining, or just walking away frustrated and confused. When you try to talk about your concerns with this person, and whether that's your spouse or a parent or a grown child, a friend or someone you work with, are they so insistent about their way of seeing things that you start second-guessing yourself? Or, you know, maybe it's not you. Maybe you're watching someone you care about get stuck in a manipulative relationship, but every time you try to point it out, they defend the person who's doing it to them. Regardless, let us help you learn how to stop playing games you never agreed to play and have rewarding relationships with all the people in your life. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
You know, I could write a book on this, just from my own personal experience on it, because I've had people like this in my life. And I remember finally figuring it out with one person when every time I talked to them, they started to tell me that I said or did particular things that I had zero memory of. Now, let's be clear, sometimes when you get into a heated conversation with somebody and your brain is just kind of in that lizard place, you can forget what was said because, you know, you're just full of adrenaline. But when somebody's doing this to you over and over again and convincing you something's your fault because you said or did X, and you're thinking, why do I just have a blank bar about this in my brain? Eventually you begin to realize, you're not having memory issues. There's a whole different perception going on here that just isn't walking in truth. And so we have to realize that when we start to get that feeling, we need to start looking at what's really going on so we can make that relationship and our own personal selves a whole lot healthier. And again, Greg, I think you mentioned something really important. When we have someone we love who we see is being manipulated in a relationship, I think for a lot of us that happens with our adult children, sometimes with our siblings or friends, and they just get defensive when we mention it to them. How do we help them not get into a situation that actually can become depleting or even abusive? Let's talk about it all today and help you out on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, if you reasonably wonder, you know, what can some theology do to help me deal with manipulative people? Well, it turns out a lot, because St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. He basically said, you know, if we take everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, all the rest, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships? And his answer to that question became what people now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body tells us that every person is meant to be loved as a person, never used as a thing. But people who are manipulators flip that. They treat people as objects and relationships as a means to an end. And the strange thing is, the person being manipulated usually can't name what's wrong. They just know they keep ending up defending themselves over things that they never meant to do.
But the thing is, the confusion isn't an accident. It's actually how the game works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody who is manipulative wins by choosing what the fight is about and then defining the terms of the discussion. They open with a vague criticism and get you arguing about whether you're selfish or whether you're a good enough spouse or whether you remembered the conversation right. And as long as you're defending yourself on the ground they picked, you've already lost. Because the real issue that they're trying to control the conversation instead of love you is never really consciously acknowledged. They're just so good at framing the discussion so that we end up trying to prove that we're not as bad as they say.
The best way to stop being manipulated is to refuse to get caught up in an argument about who really said what, or who really started it, or who really did what to whom. Instead, you can empathize with them and agreeing with their point of view, affirm that you both see things differently, but let me correct that. You have to not agree with their point of view. But yet you affirm that you both see things differently, then reset the discussion, insisting that you focus on how you can work together better next time a similar issue comes up.
For instance, you might say, you know, looking at it through your eyes, I can see why you feel the way you do, but I do see it differently. And rather than us arguing about who's right, can we focus on how we'd handle something like this better if it happened again? You know, that approach allows you to be sensitive without selling yourself out, and it resets the discussion on an equal, solution-focused footing so you can move forward without the games. Let's talk about how to do that in your relationships at 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to your presence, and we bring to you those relationships where we really are feeling manipulated or like we're playing games with somebody. Those times when we, no matter what we do, end up defending ourselves, apologizing, feeling turned around and confused, and not really getting the connection that we were hoping for. Help us to know how to respond to those situations charitably, effectively, so that we can be kind and really hear what the other person is trying to say to us, but not to the degree that we don't ever get our needs met or feel like we're not in a relationship so much as we're playing a game. Help us to have the wisdom, the courage, and the love that we need to transform those relationships through your grace. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Head Games. We're talking about relationships with people who can be a little manipulative, maybe playing some games in the relationship. We want to help you break those patterns and find solutions. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Holly, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Iowa.
Holly, welcome to the show. How can we help you out?
Hi. I was just listening this morning.
Holly, are you there?
I'm here. Yep.
All right. Holly in Iowa, going once?
Yep, now we can.
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, very good. Hello. Good morning. I was listening to your show while I was working, and God just said call.
About what, Holly? What's going on for you?
Oh, boy. I have a 20-year-old son who's home from college. He's gotten himself into a bit of trouble in college. We helped him out financially. And ever since he's come home, he does nothing. He sleeps until 5, complains that I don't have dinner ready. Very abusive as far as words, how I'm not good enough, how he wishes I was a different person. He doesn't like my parenting style. I have his number, so I do, you know, I call him out on a lot of things. But he doesn't contribute to the family whatsoever as far as helping around the house.
What trouble did he get into at college? It says something about a felony on the board here.
He had an argument with a roommate.
Issues or something. But went on?
Yeah, he got himself into a little bit of a felony, which it was a minor felony, and I'd rather not say what it was, but he had called us and asked for us to acquire an attorney, and without a doubt, as I would do again, we paid for that, helped him get out of that situation so it doesn't damage his life, because he's very bright. He has a great, I love him very much, but it's just he's very difficult right now. I feel like I'm pretty much a doormat, although I'm a strong girl.
When you said we got him out of this, like what you and your husband?
Yes, me and my husband.
So where's your husband in all this? When your son is acting like this around you, where's your husband?
He is very passive. He does stand up for me, says, don't speak to your mother like that. But kind of behind my back, helps him out. My son now refuses to speak to me. And I told him, I said, well, if you refuse to speak to me, then you, can't interact with him as well. So
how would you prevent him from interacting with his father?
I don't know. I don't want to.
So you're just sort of randomly saying things that I appreciate how painful this is and how, but there, from what I can tell, right? It sounds like there's a lot of lecturing going on. You say you call him out. You're a strong person. I think you say a lot of things, but there's no follow through. And whenever there is some attempt at follow through, your husband undermines it. A child in general, acts this way when they've not actually had to deal with any real consequences to their actions. And here's what happens a lot of times, okay? Parents will impose, I'm not talking about with a 20-year-old, I'm talking about like with a 6 or 7 or 8-year-old. Parents will impose a consequence of some sort. But then, let's say a timeout. But then they don't follow up with actually making the child do the thing over again in an appropriate way. And let's say the kid was disrespectful, okay? And they said mean things to me. So they go to timeout, and when the time's up, I let them out. I don't actually walk them back through, okay, here's what you should have said. We practice that. Let's walk through this. I just let them out because the time is up. The message they get is that they didn't do anything wrong, that they just had to wait out until we were done being mad at them. And so you end up with a kid who doesn't develop a conscience. It's a kid who just thinks that I'm a victim. I'm the one who's always being picked on because, you know, I was never made to change. I just had to wait out till my parents got tired of holding me responsible. Same thing with, you know, with other consequences. A lot of times parents will impose a consequence where, okay, they take away a privilege for a certain period of time, but they don't require the child to actually change their behavior in that meantime. So you take away the phone, or you take away the privilege, or you take away the whatever for a week, and at the end of the week they get it back, but they haven't changed. So again, all they've learned is, I just have to wait out mom or dad to stop being mad at me. I didn't actually do anything wrong. And so again, the message they get is, I'm a victim. And that's the pattern you've got here. He's never had to face a real consequence that required him to change. And because of that, he's both angry and out of control, and also he doesn't know how to handle things appropriately. So this is as much a marriage problem as it is a parenting problem. Your husband is undermining you, which is actually helping your son get worse. And instead of dealing with this with your husband directly, you're trying to tell your son, well, if you won't talk to me, you can talk to your father either. What does that even mean?
He's always, your husband's going behind your back anyway, so there's no way for you effectively to enforce that. So you really don't, Holly, ever want to be saying something you cannot enforce. Now, I understand why you helped him out of this, you know, felony situation that he was in. But if you're going to be strong, you're going to be needing to do things that actually affect change. Laying around and sleeping till whatever he decides and then gets mad you don't have dinner ready, that's got to change immediately.
I jump in real quick on the felony thing. You said, oh, he's a smart kid and he doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter how smart he is. Yeah. If he committed a felony, he doesn't deserve to get off the hook.
Yeah, there are a lot of brilliant people who are in prison because they were too smart for their own good.
So, Holly, you're going to need some real professional help to change the family dynamic here, to heal the marriage, because you're taking out your frustration with your husband. You're trying to control your son to make up for that, right? And also, you guys have never been able to impose a consequence that stuck. So I'm going to encourage you to get both marriage and family help to learn how to deal with this appropriately, because the dynamic that you've set up here, there's a long history, and it's going to take a lot of work to change.
Now, I know what you're probably going to say to yourself, Holly, which is, well, my husband won't go. Well, my son won't go. That's okay. You go. You go to somebody that you've interviewed, to a counselor that you've interviewed who knows about systems therapy, who can help you learn to handle things effectively in these relationships and make changes. And then eventually, they'll want to come along to be heard from their point of view.
Because things will start changing, even if you're the only one working on it. There are things that you could do to make the change. And when other people start seeing, oh, wait, things are changing, I want to be part of that.
Yeah.
Instead of letting the change affect me.
Don't waste your time trying to, you know, wheedle, connive, and beg for them to go with you. Get somebody who understands family systems therapy and start seeing them so that you can make effective change. And do it, like, today, because if he's just home for the summer from college, you have a very short window to start changing things here before he goes back.
But even though you don't feel like it, you have all the power here. I mean, it's your house, it's your money, it's you know, you control everything. You just haven't learned to do it in a way that's effective. And so I want you to say less and do more in terms of expectations and consequences. But you're going to need help to do that based on the history that you've described. Thanks for the call, Holly. I know this was hard to hear, but I appreciate your openness and I appreciate your willing to call in. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking about manipulative relationships today on More to Life, our show titled Head Games. Are you in a relationship with somebody who's manipulating you or playing games? We want to help you break the pattern. and find solutions. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, this is Mike Aquilino with a few words about St. Hippolytus. Hippolytus was one of the first in history to stake an illegitimate claim to the papacy. His tenure as anti-pope actually lasted through the years of several real popes. He was a reliable teacher and theologian, but he had authority issues. He died a martyr after reconciling with the actual pope, Pontian, whose feast he shares.
Are you struggling with a persistent emotional or relationship problem? Maybe those thoughts and feelings won't leave you alone, or your marriage has grown distant. Our wound from your past still aches. Too many of us tell us that we should be able to handle it alone, or that good Catholics shouldn't need help. That's not true. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of pastoral counselors will help you find solutions rooted in solid psychology and our Catholic faith, so you don't have to choose between getting real help and staying true to what you believe. Visit CatholicCounselors.com and discover how we can help your faith life and relationships flourish.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, head games, as we talk about relationships with a manipulator, somebody you feel is playing games. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Pat, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Canada.
Hey, Pat, welcome to the show. What's up?
Thank you very much. Our eldest son is 47. He's been married for 25 years. He and his wife had 9 children. The in-law family was very intertwined with our son's married family for all of these years. His wife suffered depression and mental challenges throughout raising the children. My son slid into addictions, looking for joy and love, is my opinion. They both have gone into counseling. Now it's all of my husband and my fault. We're dancing the dance with, we don't know what they're going through exactly, but we've been given boundaries. We're not allowed to drop birthday cards off at the house without first texting and asking if that's all right. We don't know how to, we want a relationship with our son. The rest of our family is very tight, but we don't know how to dance the dance with him. Sometimes he comes over, drops in, and it's all normal, and it's happy, and we have a conversation. And the next thing, we try and drop something off at his house, and all hell breaks loose, and we're told we can't do that. We're dancing the dance, and we don't know how to love our son. Should we push more for a relationship?
Let me just say, how often do you see him right now? Like, what kind of contact do you have? I mean, has it been cut? Yeah, because I, well, clarify that, yeah. How often do you see him?
Once a month. We live in the same town. He avoids us by going to a different mass on Sunday, so he doesn't see us. We very seldom see him in person.
So, because when you just say, okay, well, he gets mad if we drop off a card without texting first, that implies to me that he's said that there's a bigger boundary that's been set here, that they've said that they don't want you to be part of their lives for some particular reason. Has that conversation ever happened?
No, and that's part of the head games, is we don't know what's going on. We had an outburst at one point about a year ago that just came out of the blue. Like, he was getting a piece of furniture from us that was family heritage, and he wasn't picking it up. So my husband calmly called and said, "When are you coming to pick it up?" And he burst out with this issue that had happened when he was a child in high school and had been bullied, and he accused us of not dealing with the situation. And this was a whole, and then we never had a decent conversation afterwards to clarify, this is what happened, this is, you know, he just burst out with this outbreak. Okay. And then put the walls up again.
Okay. Now, Pat, you referenced that he had addictions, but it sounded like you were talking about porn addictions. Is there a chemical addiction here that might be affecting his personality as well?
There was alcoholism and marijuana at one point, but it's not... I feel it only surfaced when he was going through really hard times with his wife at home, not being able to function
and
as a mother for all these children.
He's not using now? He's not drinking?
No.
You know of.
No.
All right, so look, we've got only 30 seconds until we have to hit our hard break, so I'm going to ask you to hold on over the break, and we'll come back with some thoughts about your situation and how you can begin to move forward. But I thank you for your patience and for the call. We'll be back in just a minute. We're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. And when we come back, we'll be talking more with Pat and helping her identify some next steps that she can take to begin to heal her relationship with her son-in-law, or her son and daughter-in-law. But we're also taking your calls. If you are struggling in a relationship that you feel is kind of plagued by manipulation or games, or you care about somebody who is caught up in that, let's talk it out, find some ways forward. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
What qualities are embodied in truth and goodness? The Catholic Catechism asserts that the practice of goodness is accompanied by the joy and splendor of spiritual beauty. Truth, says the Catechism, is beautiful in and of itself. Because man is endowed with an intellect, truth in the rational expression of the created and the uncreated reality is necessary. But when truth is beyond words, the depths of the human heart, the exaltation of the soul, the mystery of God, other forms of complementary human expression are needed. Before God revealed himself in words, he revealed himself in the universal language of creation, the order and harmony of the cosmos, which both child and scientist can discern. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 14. This is Jesus in the upper room with the disciples before he's going out to his sacrifice of himself for our salvation. And Philip says to the Lord, "Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." Jesus looks at Philip and says, "Philip, have I been with you all this time? Don't you understand? When you see me, you're looking at the Father." In fact, only two people throughout human history have given rise to the question, not who is he, but what is he? The two people are Buddha and Jesus. Buddha's answer was, "Don't come to me, don't look to me, look to my doctrine, look to what I teach." Jesus' answer was, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart." Jesus is explicitly claiming to be God.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Do you ever feel trapped between wanting to be generous and feeling like certain people are just taking advantage of you? You're not imagining it, and you're not being selfish for noticing. In my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, I explain the key to dealing with demanding people is learning the difference between loving and sentiment. Sentimentality says yes to avoid discomfort, but true Christian love says yes or no based on what actually works for everyone's good. One thing that can help right away: instead of automatically saying yes or no when someone makes a request and you feel pressured, try the qualified yes. Take a moment to consider your needs so that you can give a balanced, generous response. Then say, "You know, I can't do that, but I could do this," or something similar that offers a way to meet their request without ignoring your needs. That's what helps relationships be what St. John Paul the Great called mutually self-giving. For more tips on dealing gracefully with people who are driving you nuts, check out God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Head Games. We talk about manipulative relationships. You have somebody in your life who you feel is playing games with you or manipulative in some way, and you're not sure how to get out of the trap. Give us a call. Let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with Pat from Canada, who was sharing that she has a difficult relationship with her son and daughter-in-law. They've set boundaries, don't come over
to drop off a card. The son and daughter-in-law did, yeah.
Don't come over to drop off a card without texting first. They only see their son about once a month. He's avoiding them, going to a different church. And Pat, before the break, you were saying that you don't really know what happened. You gave one example of he mentioned something that happened in his childhood that he got upset about, and then you guys haven't had a decent conversation since. Was that the first time they set those kind of boundaries with you, or was it going on before that?
I would say it's like 3 years ago they set these boundaries. And
what did they say then?
Doug, what did they say? I know that they set boundaries on her family before us. And then it's just been random every once in a while. They'll give individual boundaries, like with the birthday card, text us before you come over. He's an accountant, and I took a care package over to him during tax time, and I texted first. Mm-hmm. And he said, thank you for texting first before you come, and just kind of insinuates boundaries, like he needs us to contact him. He can't deal with spontaneous interactions is what I feel like.
And is that so? It sounds like what you're saying, though, is if you either called or texted first, then everything would be fine. And I don't think that's true, but that's the way it's coming across.
It's fine, but it's guarded. When you get there after you've texted, there's a quick interaction, very guarded, and then okay. It's really like he can't be around.
Oh.
Feels like he's going to fall apart, or
okay. Have you ever just described that and said, hey, you know, I just noticed when I come around you seem kind of guarded, things seem a little bit tense, even whenever I'm doing the things you're asking me to do. Can you help me understand what's going on?
This is our frustration, Dr. Greg, is that we never have a decent conversation. We're always so afraid to, because we have so little time with him, we don't know when it's proper to say to him, can we have a cup of coffee and just talk about this? We never do that, and that's the games we're playing, and it's driving my husband and I crazy. We don't
sure.
know
and
what
Pat,
to do.
It sounds like you think that he's coming up with these boundaries on his own, but as far as you know at all, or even have a hint of, do you think this is coming out of they tried to get some kind of mental health help and somebody's guiding them through this, or are they just sort of saying the only way we can both be safe and better off after everything they've gone through is to just throw arbitrary boundaries up? What's your gut instinct on that, or your knowledge?
My gut is that they're thick in counseling. I don't know who's counseling them, but the counselors are guiding them in this way, because this is not normal behavior of our son and the way he's been raised and the way the rest of our family is.
Okay. So I think, you know, obviously there's a lot of history here, and it's a pretty complicated situation. So the first step, and I'll give you some resources here to go off with, is to have that conversation, not in an accusatory way, in a way that comes off like, I really want to be able to help you. I want to be helpful for you. I want to be supportive to you wherever you're at, and whatever that means for our relationship. you know, I would love to be closer with you, but I, even though it's hard and even though it kind of hurts, I want to respect whatever boundaries you need to set. But I can tell that you're really stressed and you seem frustrated in general and particularly with us. And I don't really know what you need from us or what we've done or how we can make it better. And maybe you're not in a place where you can talk about that yet. You know, and if that's the way it is, then you know, I will accept that, even though it's hard. But I love you, and I want you to know that whenever you, your wife, are willing or able to talk to us about, you know, what's going on and what's happening with us, I want you to know that we're here and we're willing to listen. And you don't push it. You know, because it sounds like they've gone through a lot. Like you said, they've got 9 kids. She's had depression. He's struggled with some addiction issues. There's a lot on their plate, and some of this may not have anything to do with you. It may be that they, like you said, they set boundaries on her family before they even set boundaries on you. It could be a matter of they just need to circle the wagons because they're spread too thin mentally and emotionally, and that's awful for you because you end up being kind of cut out and not knowing why or what's going on. But the message that you want to give to them is not, hey, you know, why aren't you here for us? But rather, I'd really like to understand what you need from us or what kind of support we could give you and how we could help you through whatever it is that you're going through. And if the best way we can help is to step back, that's okay too. Although we really like to have a closer relationship with you. We really want you to know that we want what's best for you and we're willing to hear whatever it is you have to say, whatever it is, and whenever you're ready to say it. And by kind of creating that space where it feels safer to interact with you, and when I say safe, I don't mean that you're mean in any way. What I mean is that dealing with problems is difficult. And if somebody's going through a lot of problems already, they don't want to add anything to their plate, right? And so they are often kind of vague and set inconsistent boundaries because it's all just coming out of, I'm stressed. And if you make it about, hey, you know, why are you treating me this way? That's just one more problem they don't want to have to handle. But if you're able to go and say, listen, I can tell that there's something off, and I'd really like to fix it if I can, but I don't want to add anything to your plate. I want you to know that I'm here to support you and to love you however you need, whatever that means to you, and I'm willing to hear whatever it is that you have to say if there's something that you need to talk about whenever you're ready to talk about it. But I just wanted to let you know. And you put that out there, and then you step back. And you keep sort of holding that line. You know, say a month goes by, 2 months go by, I can tell that there's whatever it is still going on. I love you, and I want to do whatever it is that you need me to do to support you and to feel supported by me. And you just keep, you know, kind of hitting that line where you can, and over time, it makes it safe for them to start opening up. And don't get into, if he brings up something from his childhood or whatever, or another event that you don't agree with that went that way, that's never a productive conversation.
Right, just like we were talking about at the beginning, if you get into the, did it really happen and did it happen just that way, you're just going to spin down the drain of chaos. It's not going to get you to where you want to go with him in your relationship with him.
What you want to do instead, okay, is empathize without necessarily agreeing. You say, you know what, looking at it the way you describe it, that must have been horrible for you. And I'm so sorry that you went through that. And I'm so sorry that you felt like we couldn't be there for you the way you wanted us to be. It was certainly not for lack of trying, but I can understand, looking at it from your point of view, why you would feel the way you do. Here's the question I've got for you, though. And this is what could we do now for you to feel supported by us? What? Because it doesn't matter that something happened, you know, ancient history. What are you going to do about that? He's bringing it up because of something going on in the present triggered that memory. And so this is not really about what happened 20 years ago, 40 years ago. This is about something that's going on now that he feels that was the root of. And so you want to empathize with whatever he shared with you, but then bring it back around to, but what would that mean for us to be able to better support you now? And what is it that you need from us to show up for you now in a ways that you felt like we didn't show up for you then? Because that's really all about. And if you end up debating what really happened 40 years ago or whatever it was, he's just going to feel not heard and push you out even further. So these two things, empathizing, listening, and redirecting toward present solutions. We talk about all this in our book, How to Have Meaningful, sometimes difficult, conversations with our adult sons and daughters. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. And again, the title, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It really talks about how to build our relationship with our adult kids and open their hearts in ways that they'll listen to us and feel listened by us. So check it out at CatholicCounselors.com. And if there's more we can do to support and guide you through this in faithful ways, don't hesitate to reach out to us through CatholicCounselors.com. Pat, thank you so much for the call. I'm sorry that you guys are going through this. We've added your family to our More to Life prayer list. And if you need more support than Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations, the book, or our team at CatholicCounselors.com can walk with you the rest of the way, too.
And I would suggest that maybe you avail yourself of that, because we've talked a lot about your relationship with your son, but you have 9 grandchildren involved in this, and I know that's going to get very, you know, hard to untangle at some point as they become more and more adult and they have their own lives. And then it's, do they see you, don't they see you, are they betraying mom and dad, or do they get to have a relationship with the grandparents who love them? It can get complicated, and it's really helpful to have somebody walking you through those steps to be able to be on a healthy path with them.
Thanks for the call, Pat. And we are taking your calls, 877-573-7825 on our show titled Head Games, as we talk about relationships with people who can come off as kind of manipulative. Probably because they are, but, you know.
Probably.
But if you're tired of playing games in your relationships, give us a call at 877-573-7825 and let us help you find the next steps toward healing. And as we get head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23.
Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it.
And this verse, I think it could be easy to misinterpret in light of the conversation today, because it's not saying don't trust anybody. It's saying be careful. It's saying really listen to what people are saying. Don't take things personally that don't need to be taken personally. Don't take responsibility for things that aren't your responsibility. Be intentional about how you approach your relationships, because our intentionality is where everything flows from. When we fall into this place of reactivity, you know, St. John Paul in the Theology of the Body talked a lot about receptivity versus reactivity. And that's what this verse is all about. The more we react to people, the less guarded our heart is. The more we just do things that feel right in the moment but end up getting us in bigger trouble down the line. But when we can be more receptive to the Holy Spirit and intentional, and guard our hearts, essentially, by choosing the appropriate thing to do, we're able to cooperate with God's grace and guide the relationship along the path it needs to go. So, good advice from the author of Proverbs today, Proverbs 4:23. Above all, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. We're taking your calls about manipulative relationships and manipulative people. 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
EWTN is everywhere. EWTN radio programming is provided free of charge to over 500 domestic and international AM and FM radio stations. It's a great teaching tool for Catholics and non-Catholics alike. For a complete list of EWTN AM and FM stations across America, visit EWTNradio.net. At the bottom of the page, click Affiliates. EWTN is the global Catholic network.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. you may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Head Games, as we talk about manipulative relationships. 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next caller, we'd like to celebrate the anniversary of EWTN radio affiliate KMMK 88.7 FM, serving Coggin and Cedar Rapids, Iowa for 8 years.
Congratulations to Tony and Susan May and their team at Plus Charities from all of us here at EWTN. And wherever you're tuning into your local EWTN Catholic radio station, make sure you are supporting that station with your prayers, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and the people you love in living a more faithful and abundant life. All right, with that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825 on our show titled Head Games.
We're talking now with Kathleen, who's listening to EWTN radio in New York.
Hey, Kathleen, welcome to the show. What's up?
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
I'm calling what's up?
For advice on how to deal with my older sister. We're 18 months apart. We're now middle-aged. Our kids are grown. But she's somebody who's very difficult to deal with in the sense that she'll vacillate between being extremely loving and understanding and kind to being very hurtful and cruel and using things against you that you've said in confidence. She cannot take any criticism at all. Nothing is ever her fault. She's very judgmental. She has no compassion or empathy, and she can't see things from others' perspective. And so when my kids were younger and growing up, my kids were born a few years before her kids were born. And just to give you an example, when my kids got into doing sports on the weekends, and it was really difficult to do anything else other than the sports because of all the driving, etc., she would lit into me, you know, you never make time, and it's all about you and your kids. And then a few years later, once her kids were into sports, it was all about how she never has time for anything else. It's all about her kids and her sports. And sorry, but I can't see you. And couldn't see the discrepancy there, like the irony there at all. Like, it didn't even occur to her. So it's gotten to the point where I really can't have contact with her because it's just so toxic.
Well, you described two things, like, now. So in the past, but how is the relationship now? Like, what is she, how often do you see her? What kind of interactions do you have? And what's specifically the problem now that's making you want to not deal with her anymore?
Well, we don't speak. What happened was, it's hard to explain, but growing up in our household, my mother really separated us kids from each other, you know, wanted to have the closest relationship with each of us. Therefore, she had to kind of make sure we didn't have close relationships. And my sister dealt with it by being the perfect child, getting married, having children, doing everything in the correct order. I dealt with it with getting really angry and making bad decisions. And anyway, fast forward, I'm on a much better path now. And she came to visit my husband and myself at our new home. And as the weekend went on, she just got angrier and angrier because in her mind, I didn't deserve it. And it ended with a huge blow up. And we haven't really spoken since then. And it makes me really sad because I don't know how to have a relationship with her without me getting attacked is essentially what it boils down to.
All right. So what's your question for us then?
Well, what do I do about that?
What do you do about that? What do you do about not having a relationship? I mean, or how do you, what do you mean? What do you do about what exactly? Do you having a relationship,
well,
not having a relationship?
Well, like how Jesus says, you know, if you see a thorn in your brother's eye, take the thorn out of your eye first and, mm-hmm. you know, go reconcile with your brother before you come to me. And
yeah, but you can't do that on your own. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, so, you know, we like to point out that, you know, Jesus did everything to save us, but people still reject him.
They assaulted and hurt him.
More could we do than Jesus did, right? Yeah. I mean, so that's not to say that we're perfect. I don't mean to imply that we never do anything wrong. But what I mean is that, you know, you seem to me that you are reflecting on your relationship. You're reflecting on, you know, what you might need to do, what you wish you had done, whatever. But you know, you're not just saying, well, this is all her fault. You're kind of recognizing that there's a lot of stuff here. And you can't make the relationship work on your own. The best you can do is say to somebody, look, I want to be in relationship with you. You know, in order to do that, I need to be able to see you, that you're capable of X, Y, or Z, right? And then you kind of base your decision on their behavior, how much you can be around them. You know, I don't love cutoffs myself. I don't think they're healthy, and they tend to make us feel guilty and kind of go back on it later on, and so it's more of an emotional decision. I think it's better to kind of prune a relationship back to the place that it's safe to have somebody in your life. So, for example, you know, maybe you can't be around a person, but you could text them once in a while. Maybe you can be around them, but only in public, but not.
Maybe
in
you can
home.
Meet them at a diner for coffee for an hour, but you can't have them over for Thanksgiving.
Maybe you can't see them in person, but they do okay on a 10-minute phone conversation once a month. You know, I mean, so you want to prayerfully ask yourself, you know, how much can I be around her and not have to spend the rest of the day putting myself back together? Now, it's possible that she's just so mean that anytime any kind of interactions, even texting interactions, would result in that kind of response from you. And if that's the case, then that's fine. But that's how you set the boundary. You kind of ask yourself, you know, if I'm going to be generous here and leave the possibility of any kind of reconciliation open, you know, what contexts or how much could I be around her and not have to spend the rest of the day putting myself back together? You cut the relationship back to that. And then you kind of use the fact that you still have some connection to be able to say, you know, I'd really love to be able to do more with you, but I kind of need us to work through this first. And so there's enough of a connection there that you can, I hate to use the word leverage, but you leverage it in a sense of being able to say, hey, this is good. What we have is good. I'd like more, but we need to work through this before we get there. And then you see how they respond to that. You know, if they respond by saying yes, well, that's great. You win. If they respond by yelling at you, that lets you know that you either need to pare the relationship back further or just leave it where it's at for now. So that's how I'd suggest praying through this. Number one, be clear in your own mind about what you'd need to see from her to, not necessarily to fix the however many decades of history you guys have, but to just be able to be in the same room with her and get along okay. You know, I would need to see X, Y, or Z in order to feel safer with her than I do. That's number one. Number two, then you pair the relationship back to the point where you do feel safe. Whatever that is, like I said, even if it's a once-a-month text, you know, hey, thinking about you, just wanted to know I was praying for you, anything that you want me to pray for you for, you know, whatever. And you're maintaining at least that. If that's not safe, then you cut that back and that's up to her. But at least you're clear about what it would take to move forward, and you're creating some kind of opportunity for her to do that thing that you've asked her to do. So that's how I would suggest approaching this at this point. You know, but you can't make the relationship work entirely on your own, and Jesus doesn't ask us to do that. Because as I pointed out when I began my response here, you know, there's nobody who could do more to call us into relationship with him than our Lord did. And still people reject him. And he doesn't drag us kicking and screaming into a relationship. He respects our free will. He respects our ability to reject him. And it breaks his heart. And if that's what happens here, then, you know, you can join your suffering to the heart of the Lord and pray for your sister and pray for healing and pray that if the relationship can't be healed in this life, that it might be healed in the next. But then you focus your energy on the people who do love you and the life that you are building with the people who do care about you. And you put your energy into that. So those are really the best ways to move forward, Kathleen. I'm sorry that you're going through this with your sister. I hope that these suggestions will give you a way forward. And if there's more we can do to support you once you've sat with this a little bit, don't hesitate to call us back. We'd love to hear from you again. You know, these manipulative relationships are difficult because, as I said at the very beginning, they don't follow the normal rules. And in fact, the more we try to follow the normal rules in dealing with the person, the worse things tend to get, because that's what they're counting on. That's how they manipulate us in the first place. So if you are kind of listening to the show today and identifying with a lot of what we're talking about, but not sure how to apply any of the ideas to your relationships, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Check it out, CatholicCounselors.com. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there really is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.